Tonight it is my great pleasure to welcome back to Many Rivers Books Auntie Diane Monroe, mentor, facilitator, inner wilderness guide. She's speaking tonight on the subject Wild Soul, Connecting Inner and Outer Terrain, Practices for Tracking Inner Terrain. We are delighted to welcome her back, and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for sharing this evening with me. And because it's only an hour and because I want to leave most of the time for an experiential art activity, I'm going to try to speak very briefly. I'm going to speak very briefly, also very softly, okay? Is that a good voice level for everyone in the back? Great. So as we begin, I'd just like to invite everyone to kind of take a deep breath, just to help us arrive, and then let it out. And take another one, and I see some people are already making a little noise, but this time make whatever noise wants to come out as you let it out. And with this third breath, what I want you to do is gather all of the clutter and fuss of the day and the to-do list and all of the bustle and hustle, just kind of gather it up as you breathe in, and when you make a noise, send all that stuff right out the door, where it will be waiting for you when you leave. Okay, if you want to. And I'm just going to do a little housekeeping and mention to you that over on that table, first off, are some wonderful books, including a couple from Bill Plotkin, who has been a tremendous influence to me and one of my mentors and teachers, and also some things of mine, a sign-in list, and if you will leave me your email, I want to send a follow-up activity to the one we're doing tonight, so even if you're on my email list, sign it anyway, and you're not going to start getting two emails from me. I can sort it out if you want to sign it. And there's a brochure for my mentoring practice, and that orange one is a flyer for an upcoming program, so please, on your way out, help yourself along with the to-do lists and stuff that you'll pick up outside. I'd like to just begin with a poem. And I think there were a few people here who were here last time I spoke here, which was in February. So some of this is a little repeat, but there's some new stuff in too. So the poem I also started last time with. And some of you others may know it. It's called The Way It Is by William Stafford. And it goes like this. There's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread. But it's hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die. And you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. And when we speak of that thread, that's one way of speaking of soul. And when I speak of wild soul, which is what I've named my mentoring practice, I need to talk a little bit about how I'm using the word soul. And I'm going to borrow from Bill Plotkin, whose influence on me I've already mentioned, and to more or less approximately quote him. He uses soul to mean the unique mythopoetic identity that lies at the heart of each individual life. And that is what I want to talk about and explore a little tonight. And to do that, I also want to share a distinction that Bill Plotkin made that pretty much rocked my world. And according to him, and also other people, there are actually two realms of spirituality, one of which is commonly spoken of in our culture, and one of which is little spoken of in our culture. And both are equally important and necessary for us to be whole humans. And the first one is the realm of spirit, and that is the one that is often spoken about in the more established spiritual traditions and the alternative spiritual traditions, and that's the realm of up. That's the realm of transcendence. That's the realm of this experience of the oneness of all. And we need that. And the one that is not spoken of and little understood in our culture and oftentimes deliberately suppressed in our culture is the realm of soul. And that is the deep down and inward into ourselves and into the earth and connection with the earth. And one could say that soul, which is intricately interwoven with the earth, that our soul is our deep inner nature or our deep inner wildness. And so in talking about soul, we're not talking about something that's easy to see on the surface. We're not talking about someone's talents. We're not talking about their personality. We're certainly not talking about their job. We're not talking about their station in life, mother or father or even teacher. We're talking about something much different that is underneath the surface. And it's an image or a spark that we're born with. It's something like a seed that can grow into the tree of our full selves. And we all have this like a river underlying and flowing beneath the surface of our lives that we're more or less conscious of and that can act as a powerful guide for our lives. So I want to just talk for a minute about why I'm sitting here talking to you all about soul. Very briefly. And it came from my own experience many years ago now with a very long, very dark night of the soul in which I was carrying what felt like an ocean of grief. And the grief was not only for me personally, it was for our culture and civilization, for our earth, for the times that we live in. And through this wandering in this really dark, lonesome time, I found and gathered some practices and approaches that felt real and alive and true to me. And one of the truths that I found is that our soul spark and image, purpose and path is always connected with the earth simply because we are part of the earth, which is something that our civilization and culture tends to ignore, deny, and suppress, but it's still true. We are of this earth. And our soul image, spark, path, and purpose is also always connected with the times in which we live. And that's simply, again, because we happen to be alive now. We are not alive at some other time. So all of these are intertwined. And in my wanderings and gatherings, both in that time of dark night of soul and since, I've gathered approaches and practices that helped me and also help others in finding and living their own soul image and soul spark. And they are a unique blend of using creativity and ceremony and expressive arts and deep connection with nature. And that's kind of the underpinnings of my mentoring practice. And I'm going to share with you in just a little bit only one small tiny treasure, because that's all I can do in an hour. And before I do that, I'm going to just talk a little more about the importance of this connection of soul, image, and purpose with both the earth and our times. And in terms of understanding this and understanding our soul spark and finding ways to live it, we reach not only a really deep, deep fulfillment, but we're also offering what is most important and the best we can offer to our times. And this is really important nowadays because we live in a really critical time. And the time we live in, and it sounds like I need to come for the next two Thursdays from the future speakers that Rob was reading from, but we live in a time when our consumer culture is consuming our earth. And we live in a time when the paradigm of our culture of unlimited growth is bumping up against the fact that we live on a finite planet. And this is challenging times. It can be frightening times. It's also times of tremendous potential and possibility, because when something old crumbles, it makes room for something new. And that's where all of us and our soul sparks and our soul images and our soul gifts comes into play, as being very important, and particularly important in these times of change. And some of you may know the eco-philosopher Joanna Macy, and she calls this time the Great Turning. And some of you may know the also very great eco-philosopher Thomas Berry, who called it the Great Work. And they call it that because we have a time where there's just a plethora and whole array of new ideas and new approaches and new practices that are coming into these times and offering different ways and opportunities to revision how we humans live in relation to Earth, and perhaps something as large as reimagining what it means to be human. And that's something that we all have a role to play in. And for me, there's the feeling that the more people can play their full role in that, the more we can all lead deeply fulfilling lives and be rooted in those times of change and give the best and fullest of ourselves to this earth. And it's my joy and part of my soul path to share the things that I've learned and discovered to support or offer to people who are seeking and finding ways to live their soul gifts. And now, one of the things I've learned is that finding your soul image is not like graduating from college. You know, it's done, hang it on the wall, go on with life, okay? There's an initial searching when that call comes to you to do that searching, and then there's times of deepening, of growing it, of expanding it, so that it's a continuing process. It's kind of a soul conversation. And so whether you are just beginning to ask these questions of soul image and purpose and place, or whether you are already immersed in this journey of soul conversation, my hope is that this tiny treasure that I'm going to offer is something you can carry with you to either deepen or begin or enhance that journey. And so that said, I would love to have time for questions, but given the shortness of time, I want to move right into the activity and then have a little discussion at the end, if that's okay. I'm going to do a voice check. Is my voice level still good? Great. Okay, so we're going to have to do, I don't know if we're going to have to do a little moving around, but we're going to have to share some art supplies. So what I'm going to do is kind of start passing things out. The first thing I'm going to pass out, and I might ask some people to help pass out, like, could I ask you just to, pass out, you could give these to the back. These are magazines that we're going to put the paper on, and people might want to take two magazines, so if you want to start and take two magazines and pass them out, okay. And that will actually serve as backing for paper. Same thing. Could you pass out paper in the back? Okay, could you start with paper in the front? Like that.
More magazines here, please.
Okay. And yeah, there may not be enough for two for everyone. So what I'm going to do...
Can we just take one of these?
Yeah. And we can stick it right there in case someone wants to. What I'm going to do is this. If, let's see, Mr. Michael, could you just put one, and then, let's see, I want to pass this to Jim. Could you just put one on the floor right there? I'm kind of just subdividing these. Let's see. So I'm subdividing these, and everyone should kind of feel free to reach when we're ready to reach. And let's see. Let me stick same thing. If you stick this in between you two, and this in between you two.
All right.
Okay. And this will just be the communal pot for the front row.
All right.
Okay. So everyone should have something kind of. So I'm going to
do this here. I want everyone to have something kind of an easy access.
And so I work very much with nature. Mostly what I do is outside in relation to the natural world that is actually happening right then. However, tonight we have this beautiful place that's rich in wonderful spiritual books and beings and things. So we don't have nature. We're going to have to kind of bring it to us. And what we're going to be doing is a meditation and a drawing from the meditation. And with this drawing, some of you may know the field of expressive art, but it absolutely does not matter whether or not you are an artist. I know that everyone is an artist, but some people don't know that yet. So it absolutely does not matter what it looks like. What matters is what flows through you and how it feels to you as you're creating it and having a relationship with it. So, that said, is everyone ready to do meditation and art? Okay. And keep my voice up. So, if my voice does tend to get soft, so if anyone in the back row is having trouble hearing me, just do something like wiggle your fingers and I will raise my level. Okay? Great. So I want to just invite everybody to kind of get as comfortable as we can in these chairs, you know, lean back or do whatever you want to feel comfortable. And kind of just take a little breath and exhale it. And it's okay to make a little noise. And then I want to invite you to continue to breathe at your own rhythm, but deeply and fully. And as you breathe, I want to invite you to feel the air as it comes in your nostrils, down your throat to where it dissolves in your lungs, and then feel the swelling of your stomach as the air rises and pushes itself again through your lungs and up your throat and out your nose. And so with each breath, and to your own rhythm, not the rhythm of my voice, feel the air as it goes into your nostrils and down your throat, and then feel it as it rises in your belly and again comes up your throat and through your nose. And as you do that, I want you to see and imagine in your mind's eye, with every exhale, the color of the ribbon of light that you exhale into this room. And so imagine yourself breathing in a clear light and breathing out a ribbon of color. And then take note as you exhale, what are the colors and the shapes that you exhale into this room? So you're breathing in a clear ribbon of light, and you're breathing out a ribbon of color. And imagine that ribbon of color and see it in your mind's eye as it twirls above your head in this room, and see how that ribbon of color blends and intertwines with the ribbons of color of everyone else in this room. So with each inhale, you're breathing in light, and with each exhale, a ribbon of color that curves and twirls and weaves itself with the ribbons exhaled by everyone else in this room. And as you continue to breathe deeply and relaxedly, see and feel the ribbon of color that you're breathing, and imagine it going further and further out the door and window, and weaving with the breath of all the living beings that walk the streets of Sebastopol, the living beings in the backyards, the birds, the raccoons, the squirrels, the dogs and cats. So our ribbons of breath are intertwining with the breath of all those living beings in the blocks and maybe even the miles surrounding this place. And as we continue to breathe and send out our ribbons of color, feel how our ribbons of color intertwine with the breath of the trees and the grass and the flowers. How our ribbons of exhaled breath offer them the carbon dioxide that they need. And how their green leaves offer us the oxygen that we need to live. So picture your ribbon of breath intertwined with the ribbons of breath of all these living beings, the humans and the squirrels, the raccoons, maybe a deer, the live oak and the redwoods. And then feel and know yourself as held within this web of life and part of this web of life, in which you are held and from which you cannot fall. And feeling yourself held by these ribbons of breath that is the web of life, allow yourself to travel in your mind to some place where there is water that you have been. A place where you felt connected to that body of water, be it ocean or stream or river or lake or creek or puddle. Take a moment and bring yourself in your mind to that place, to connect with that place that's important to you. And in reaching that place, take a moment to look around at the landscape. What season is it? What life is there? What plant life? What animal life? And feel the air. Is it warm? Cool? Is there a breeze? And feel the earth beneath your feet. Take a look around again and see if there is something nearby that feels important to you. And now I would like you to look at the place where the water meets land. And in that place where earth and water come together, imagine that you see something just below the water's surface. And you see it there, and you reach out your hand to hold it. So allow yourself to see in your mind's eye what that thing is that pulls your attention. Its shape and color, its feel, as you reach out to touch it. And as you hold it very gently, notice the texture, the color, the feel. Notice how it responds to your touch and holding. And as you feel ready, spend as much time with that thing as you want, or being as you want, and as you feel ready, thank it and return it to the water, and then open your eyes and create an image of the thing that you saw in the water. And if for some reason a thing did not present itself to you, just use your intuition in the moment to create something that may have been so far beneath the surface that you could not see it or reach out to it. thing I didn't bring is a pencil sharpener, but there may be another orange somewhere. Is that an orange? We'll draw for a couple more minutes and then talk a little, and people who aren't finished drawing are free to keep on drawing as we talk. Okay. And there may be oranges in the front too. Okay.
Are we allowed to cheat?
Sure. What's the definition of cheating?
Huh?
What is cheating in this case?
Don't get like that.
I mean, but sure, you're allowed to cheat.
Out.
Okay.
Fine. No, you cheat, I guess.
Cheating either.
No, you look at the answers on the back of the book.
Okay. I think in this case there's actually no way to cheat, but you are certainly allowed to do it.
That's funny, because I thought, oh, he's probably copying his neighbors.
So, for people who aren't finished, please feel free to keep on drawing, but I'm just feeling, just because of time, I would love to, yes, Jim, oh, for people who are still drawing, please feel free to keep drawing, and I'm feeling in the interests of time and getting Jim home before midnight, right, that it might be time to have some just discussion. And I'm wondering if there's anybody or bodies or several bodies who would be willing to share their image, what they found, what water were they at, and anything else they want to share about that.
Well, I live across the street from the Russian River in Monte Rio, and so I go down to this particular beach a lot, and so that was what came up for me. And I especially like it this time of year, because now all the tourists have gone home, and there's almost no one there but me, and so I go down there to feed the ducks and just observe the river and all that. And so what I did was reach down in the water and touched a little fish that was swimming by, and it stayed still long enough for me to touch it, and then it kept on going. So my image is just the fish in the river.
And that's what I'm guessing it was an orange and red fish.
Right, sort of like a
I think
salmon.
You want
no,
oh, it was a salmon. Wow.
Yes, because the salmon are coming back.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there salmon in the Russian River?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Okay. There used to be a lot more.
Yeah. Mm. So.
When we went on the meditation, you asked us to go to that water. The water I first visited was a pond out front of the house where I grew up in Piedmont, Oklahoma. It was very, very red. I tried to get that color. Mm. You know, laundry was always pink. If it was white, it was pink where I was raised, but it was very clay red.
Mm.
So I'm in that. Looking at that pond, very beautiful meditation, by the way, thank you. And what appeared to me was a crystal. I recently lost my brother in July, and it was the crystal that he had given me, a nice big crystal, you know, love quartz. And so that's what appeared to me, and it was kind of interesting because I noticed that although it had these rainbow kind of reflections from the light, it was out of it came up from the bottom of the pond, so it had this dirt on it. So, strangely enough, after looking at it, thinking about it, it's interesting how it caused me to realize what was happening in my mind in relation to my brother. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So it gave you some depth of insight into that. Yeah.
Like a story, like a physical manifestation of a more, I guess, mental or spiritual or etheric kind of process that happens. And you know, you mentioned that these times that
yeah.
things going on.
Yeah.
I know for a fact, and I hope nobody in here actually knows this, what it feels like to have such a tragedy occur in their life, but something about these tragedies that will happen cause something incredibly beautiful, and
yeah.
where one thing crumbles, like you say, a beautiful thing's coming out.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah. And I just want to commend, maybe commend isn't the right word, but honor that with that pain, and that pain being very recent, that you can already feel that with this terrible thing that happened, there are other things that can flow through the whole of that wound. So that's very courageous.
Well, I'm very grateful to
yeah.
a thought that led me to go to Sedona, which was right after it, and I had his remains.
Yeah.
And so a very wonderful process was begun there. I know this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I probably wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah.
So it just continues to expand.
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Are there other things that people want to share?
Well, I was at the beach in Montevideo also. That's really funny. I can't draw, but I go very abstract. I can't. I don't have skills. But this is the Russian River in Montevideo, and this is the fish that I touched in the stream. Were we standing next to each other? I know I have to explain it because,
yeah.
you know, like I'm not.
Really abstract.
I'm not. Yeah, it's very abstract. I understand that, but that's the best I can do. And so, but I thought, I just had to share it after you told me that, you know, like, I can see Montevideo there. I have to explain that this is Montevideo. I was really surprised, you know, when you said that I was going, oh, I know exactly what that is.
Did you know what color was your fish?
Red?
Red.
Yeah, that's why this one red stroke here, see, that's the fish underneath the river. What?
I like it. Minimalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll share about mine. I immediately went to the Yolaboli Wilderness in the middle of the Mendocino National Forest, and there's a hiking trail that goes down to Balm of Gilead is what it's called, and it's the part of the river that runs through the Yolaboli Wilderness, and It's very wild and very pristine and just amazingly nourishing and beautiful there.
Mm.
And so I was in the water. All of me was in the water during this meditation, that incredibly clean and beautiful water. And my hand reached out to this stick. And under the water, it was all so wet and beautiful. And to me, it was the talking piece, which I feel so dedicated to that practice. And then there are all the trees on the other bank, and the bank was really steep and goes up, and there's some hiking trails that continue on. And that's what really caught my attention, is just that desire to follow the path.
That's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Here's my stick.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The talking piece or talking
piece? Talking piece. The talking piece.
Yeah,
the
piece.
The talking piece.
Yeah.
Piece.
Yeah. So, I just like to offer something about this process here, is that with tracking or working with or discovering soul, it's like courting a mystery, and it shows itself up in what we can retrieve from beneath the surface, serendipities in everyday life, serendipities in connection with wild nature, and any number of other ways. So this is just a small experience with how we can go deep within ourselves and find connection with the natural world, and with that bring something back that in some small way is connected with our soul journey at this time. And there are a number of things that you can do in relation with that. The image that you have, you can hang it somewhere to look at it, you can open a conversation with it, you can kind of try to go further into what's there. And so if as you leave, you sign my mailing list, I'll send you some things that you can do with that to kind of deepen that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like to do just now for the last, I guess, 4 minutes, because Rob gets to make an announcement at the very end, is see if there are any just questions about anything that people have. Yes, Jim?
Is it two people going to the same place in this kind of exercise, is that... Did that happen? I mean,
I've seen similar things.
Okay, I was just curious about that. You know, it's sort of like sometimes people will share the same dream location, for example.
Yeah.
I was just curious about that.
And then, in a situation with more time, you know, you two might explore that together and see if what are the uniquenesses and what are the similarities, and is there some interweaving going on? So, if you guys know each other, have a conversation.
We're both poets too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That explains a lot.
I've seen things that come very similarly, and then, you know, it leads one to wonder all kinds of things.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think it's rather interesting. I actually know you from a little ways back in another town, in another place, and I have remembered you with great love in my heart. Some workshops that we did in San Antonio were, so expansive. That's how I got here, kind of. This is a long and short story to it. What's fascinating is just the other day, recently I have been starting to begin leading these meditations with some sisters. And I kept thinking about this meditation that you always led us in. And I was thinking, gosh, I wish I could hear Diane's meditation again. And then I was going through my email and got the emailing from this bookstore. And I noticed your name. I said, well, I've got it. And there's my answer. I ask. So it's very good to see you again. And I just can't say enough about. And she actually didn't call me here to see that. I just do want to say that you came in a very wonderful, your presence in my life was a seed and a space opener for things in my life to serve my higher self better. So I'm thankful for that. Directly.
So, you know, I am very, very deeply touched and a little bit humbled and amazed by the serendipity, and I think you must have changed a whole lot in your physical appearance.
I sure did.
Okay. So as soon as we end this, I want to be connected with you. I want to reconnect with you to remember this. So
and
thank you.
Like
so thank you very much. And I find it serendipitous. Like, how many people, guys, do y'all know in Sebastopol from San Antonio? I mean, I find this deeply serendipitous.
I'm from Galveston.
Oh, okay.
It was so close to when I asked, like, I wanted to hear your meditation again.
Right.
Well, okay.
Well, yes, so I want to know how you got
yeah.
here. So this is cool. So, other questions, comments, insights? Revelations.
Well, I love that ribbon of life that you wove us along, and I had imagined that the drawing was going to be connected to that, and in a way, I suppose it was. But I kept thinking of that song, my need is the ribbon of life, the ribbon of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, it was lovely to have that feeling of connection and the flow.
Is it Teresa
Tadouri? Teresa Tadouri. She's
yeah.
a local musician.
Mm-hmm.
Songwriter. Right,
yeah.
Singer-songwriter. Yeah, thank you, that's right. So anyway,
and if people have further questions or insights or any or all of the above, please feel free to take. I have little cards or flyers, which conveniently have my email and phone number. I'd be very happy to hear from you. And Michael, is your hand up?
Yeah. When the soul is mentioned, I like to go to my favorite wonder and mystery about its understanding, and I love. The soul of the foot and how that which, like the earth is so big and the foot is so small, and the soul is where that which is so small meets that which is so large, and it's the connector between
yeah.
that which separates us and that which joins us. And also the wonder of a word, like the lifespan of a spoken word is so brief, flitting away on the tail end of its own breeze, and the lifespan of the silence goes on forever in every direction. And yet, where those two meet, they meet as equals. So I think the mystery of the soul has to do with a mysterious equality between. I'm not sure. Just a mystical equality. And it's like, well, the individual or the separate couldn't exist without its meeting ground with that which is not separate. And so it's like the meeting ground.
That's
all.
Yeah.
Acceptance.
I don't know.
Agreement contract. It's a
Thank you, Michael. I just want to say for that beautiful imagery of those places where things touch in that moment and then are separate. So thank you. So I think I should turn it over to Rob. Yeah.
And I will turn it over to Gratitude for your presenting tonight. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. And